Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
John 11, verse 25. Just the best verse I could have for today. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. I want to talk to you for just a few moments today on this subject. The resurrection is a friend of mine. You may be seated. Friends are amazing things. I'm not sure when we're young we appreciate the value of friendship and what friends mean. I have friends in this building that have changed and impacted my life. Two of my greatest friends have died in the last few years. I preached the funeral of my friend, Brother Mike Timonello, in February in Dallas, friends for 50 years. I had no idea that his death was going to leave a hole in my life, but it did. Lawrence Bishop, a few years before that, of course, your parents and your family. And you begin to realize the value of friendship. Somebody said if you have three great friends or good friends in your life, you're rich because you won't really have that many. A friend of mine was asked to preach a funeral, and he flew all the way from California to Dallas, and they asked him to be the main speaker, and this is what he said. He spent hundreds of dollars to get there, and he said, they say if you have three great friends in your lifetime, you're rich. He said, I now have two, and he sat down. His entire message took less than 30 seconds. He said, everybody just needs to understand what a hole that is in my life. And so when we talk about somebody being a friend, it's a powerful thing. Garth Brooks said, I've got friends in low places. Well, good for you, Garth, but it doesn't help you very much. If you want friends to help you, you've got to get some friends above you, some friends higher than you. Now, it's up to you to help your friends in low places, but you're going to need somebody to help you, so you need some friends in high places also. A friend of mine told me many years ago, several years ago, he said, Bill Clinton and I are pretty good friends. He said, in fact, he's one of my best friends. He pastors a church in Louisiana. And I said, I can't believe this guy is name dropping like that. He's not a friend of President Bill Clinton. I was watching CNN News, and Bill Clinton stepped out to play golf, and the cameras were there, and they gave him the microphone and talked to him. And lo and behold, there was my friend standing shoulder and shoulder playing golf with the president. I was so glad to find out my friend was not a liar. And then, when President Clinton wrote his book, he gave him 2 pages. This is just a pastor. 2 pages in Bill Clinton's book. I was impressed. But I was more impressed when he wanted to put a parking lot at his church and there was a levee there. He called the engineer and the contractor and said, we need to move that levee so we can put a parking lot here for our church. And that guy said, nobody touches the levees in Louisiana. The next day, the bulldozers were there taking the levee out. I said, how did you do that? He said, I called President Clinton. In 24 hours, the levee was gone. Oh, it is impressive when you've got friends. I've met 2 or 3 presidents. And they were not my friends. I just shook their hand. I was on the governor's staff in Louisiana, the 70, Governor Edwards, he went to prison, but way before he went to prison. He was my friend, and I carried a little card, and I'd flash that card in Louisiana, and it was just great. It really was impressive. But when we talk about the resurrection, we think we're talking about an event, and it is that. But Jesus Christ made the most startling statement that's ever made. I don't think anybody else has ever had the audacity to make this statement. He said, I am the resurrection. Not I will be at the resurrection. Not that I can participate and precipitate a resurrection. But he said, I am the resurrection. It's like saying, the governor is a friend of mine. The president is a friend of mine. But friend, I go way higher than that. I say, the resurrection is a friend of mine. And that's the most amazing thing that can happen in your life. That's the reason why just going to church and shaking the preacher's hand is nice. Attending a church and writing a check is good. Singing in the choir is wonderful. But none of that is what the gospel is about. The gospel is about making the resurrection your friend. Because I can promise you that life has its moments, but it has its death moments where things die and you have no control over them. Dreams die, situations and opportunities die, people die, and you have no control over that. But if you can make the resurrection your friend, it will stay you all the days of your life. The Bible said Abraham was a friend of God. A number of occasions, the Bible talks about people being friends of God or friends of Jesus. The difference between life and death is the resurrection. Jesus claimed two of the three things: life, resurrection, and death. He assigned death to the devil, but he claimed life and resurrection. And so all of these people that try to tell you that God is always the author of sickness and disease and all of, they're just wrong. Because my God is a God of life, and he is a God of resurrection. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, I am now a God of the living. That's the God that I serve. If you relegate to Jesus being anything but the resurrection, the Son of God, God in the flesh, you have missed the incarnation of Christ and what he's about. Jesus is either a host, a hoax, or he's the honey in the rock. He's either a liar or he is eternal life. He's either Mary's gardener or he's the God of the universe. He's either the world's greatest deceiver or the deliverer of the world. He's either a charlatan or he's the Christ. He's either the hex of humanity or the healer of mankind. He's either the jester of the world's court or the judge of the universe. You cannot make him a mediocre medium. He's either God, all God of this world, or he is not God at all. Friend, I want to tell you that I have cast my lot with Jesus Christ. I have found him to be my Savior, my Lord, my baptizer, and most of all, he is the resurrection. And friends, it's not just when I die. Those people that are betting on Jesus Christ to be the resurrection, but they've never felt one inkling of his resurrection power while they're living, are really betting long odds. Because friend, I have found that Jesus Christ is not only going to be, he is right now. He did wake me up this morning as he does every day. And the great obstacles of my life, he resolves. But he also deals with the very smallest things there is in my life. And when I came to San Antonio's, Pastor Brandon talked about, we knew nobody, we had nobody, we had no denomination, we had nobody. But praise God, the resurrection is a friend of mine. And he was there with me. And when we came to this property that we own and found out it wasn't for sale, I made one call and the man said, it's simply not for sale, sir. And I got ready to hang up and he said, what did you want that property for? And I said, a church. He said, oh, that's different. I'll meet you there in 30 minutes. And so we began buying this property. Literally, it was dead in the water, but the resurrection is a friend of mine. More books have been written about Jesus Christ, the resurrection, than any other figure in history. More hospitals have been named for him than any other person, dead or living. Who is he? He said, I am the resurrection. When they accused him of being the devil, he simply said, I am the resurrection. Our mayor sits here today. We love you, Mayor. You're a wonderful mayor. Not only that, you're a wonderful person. We love you very much. But way back before she was mayor, we had a little problem. It was called zoning. And every neighbor signed against this church being here and zoning. And we went to the zoning committee and we were turned down. We appealed it to the mayor, to the city council. And so we had a long meeting and finally they were ready to vote and it was tied for and against. But suddenly the mayor then said, you know what? Let's just wait a minute. And for some reason, he paused. And when he did, the woman that had circulated the petition against this church stood up and began to weep. And she said, I've changed my mind. I want the reverend to have his church. And the mayor said, good enough for me, voted in favor of this church. Later on, that lady said, I don't know why I did that. Oh, I know why she did that. The resurrection is a friend of mine. When I'm dead in the water, he takes over. You don't know how many times I've been dead in the water. Friend, when you become a friend of the resurrection, no does not mean no. The end does not mean the end. Stopping does not mean stopping, because the resurrection is able to turn around impossible situations. His response, the father of all Jews, Abraham. The Bible said when they questioned Jesus about who he was, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. What he was saying was, I am the resurrection and I was the friend of Abraham. When they disputed his age, he declared his eternal existence. And they said, you're not yet 50. He said, before Abraham was, I am. It's something where you're the friend of the resurrection. Friend, your life never has to be no. It can be yes all the time. It doesn't matter what the boss says. It doesn't matter what the committee says. It doesn't matter what the neighbor says. When your friend is the resurrection, anything is possible. It was the same response that he gave to Moses thousands of years before. He called Moses out to lead his people out of bondage and slavery. And Moses said, I'm just not capable. I stutter, I stammer, I'm not capable. He said, but if I must go before the people and tell them I'm the chosen one to lead them out of Egypt, he said, let me have your name. Tell me who you are so I can tell them. He said, simply tell them, I am sent you. Jesus Christ is always I am. It's called the seven great I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But most of all, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Pastor Kenneth Phillips called me yesterday, and he said, when can you come back to preach? I preached there a month ago. I said, I don't know. Do you really need me? He said, I don't need you so much, but he said, we need what happened. He said, I hadn't had a chance to call you and tell you, but while he was preaching, sitting in the congregation, there was a man that's been there for years, lives close to the church. He has spina bifida. That is a disease you're born with. There is no cure for it. 1,500 people out of every 100,000 people born in the world have that disease. There is no cure. There are treatments, but no cure. But he said, while you were preaching, you never touched him. He didn't come to the altar. He simply felt the power of God hit his back, his body, and said he testified last Sunday that the doctors have said he is the only man that they ever saw that was totally cured of spina bifida. Say, how is that possible? I'll tell you how that's possible. The resurrection is a friend of mine. And that resurrection is in this building today. And friend, I don't care if you've been coming with me for 44 years, Becky and I, for 44 years, or if you've been here 44 minutes. It doesn't matter. I want to introduce you to the resurrection. And I just have one goal for you, and that is that you will make the resurrection your friend before you walk out those doors. Because you're going to need him all the days of your life, and you're going to need him on the last days of your life. The Bible said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The resurrection seed, it lives inside of me. Ladies and gentlemen, I did not join a church. I didn't just get saved. I literally made the resurrection my friend. He walks with me. He talks with me every day of my life. Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And the Bible said, rejoice with those that rejoice, and I rejoice with him. Praise God. A few years ago when I had the horse accident, they flew me in by helicopter and said I would not live. There was no need to operate. You prayed. People prayed all over the nation. My family prayed. But praise God, the truth is, I am a friend of the resurrection. The doctor said he can't live. And on Monday they said he's still alive, we'll operate, but he'll never walk again. I just thought of this early this morning. I never had even mentioned this, I guess, to nobody. I don't know who he was, but the doctor said I shouldn't try to take a step for 6 months to just lay there. But in 6 months, I would probably never walk again. I don't know who he was. He told me he was an army officer, but he was a little short guy. And he got to come into my room every day, and there wouldn't be anybody around. And he'd say, get out of that bed. And I'd get out of that bed, and he was a lot shorter than I was. And he'd say, lean on me, and he'd take me for a stroll down the hall. Then he'd bring me back and put me in the bed. He did that for several days, and I totally forgot about that. But this morning, the Lord woke me up thinking about that guy. I don't know whether he was really an officer in the United States Army. He might have been an officer in a different army. He might have been an angel from another world. I don't know. All I know is I'm a friend of the resurrection, and he always finds a way to get me up. Every time the devil knocks me down, the resurrection gets me back up. Hallelujah. Let me hurry to a close, but Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the resurrection because he was a friend of the resurrection. Number one, he rejoiced in righteousness. Have you ever tried to be righteous? How'd that work out for you? Did you make it a half a day? You don't make it long when you try to be righteous. You know, Abraham, the father of the faithful, you understand that he could be fearful. And when the man said to him, that's a beautiful woman you're with, he said, talking about his wife, he said, that's my sister. And if you want her, you can have her. That was his wife. He was prepared to give away his wife to save his life. He lied. But yet, the Bible said that Abraham believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Friend, I want to tell you, I do my very best to live godly and righteously, but I fail. But I rejoice in my salvation. Because the same God that was the God of Abraham is the resurrection. And he resurrects righteousness in me every day. And when the devil comes in to accuse me, the resurrection stands up in my behalf and says, have you considered my servant? He is righteous. And so Abraham rejoiced in the righteousness of God. Second, he rejoiced in restoration. He's 100 years old. His wife is 90 years old. And God said, your job is to produce and reproduce. Have a child. That sounds like fun, but it wouldn't be when you're 100 years old. God restored the physical body of Abraham and the physical body of Sarah. And he said, I considered not the deadness of my own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He rejoiced to see his day. He rejoiced in the power of God's restoration because that's what resurrection is restoration. There are people in this building that have lost something real in your life, something tangible. And the devil is saying it's never going to be that good again in your life. Never, ever be that good again. Let me tell you what I know about the devil. He is a liar. The devil's never told me one thing that was true, not one. I am here to tell you that you need to rejoice with the God of Abraham, the resurrection, because he is in this auditorium today to restore something that has been gone out of your life. And you ought to take a hold of it with both hands and say, praise God, I'm a friend of the resurrection. The resurrection is a friend of mine. And what the devil says is gone for good is coming back. But it's not coming back as it was. It's coming back bigger and better than it was. I'm not going to turn it loose. And third, he rejoiced in resurrection power. Because the Bible tells us this story. After he was dead in his body, he was gone from this earth. The Bible said there was a beggar and he died. And there was a rich man and he died. And the rich man looked up and he saw Lazarus. And guess where Lazarus was? He was in Abraham's bosom. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, if you will make Jesus Christ your friend, if you will become a friend of the resurrection, you can overcome every problem in this life, every circumstance in this life, but even greater than that, when you come to the end of this life, just as Abraham lived forever, you can live forever. The resurrection is a friend of mine. When the doctor looked at me and said, "You have prostate cancer," that's your opinion, but I'll have to consult with my friend, and he is the resurrection. When the doctor looked at Becky and said, "You have a tumor in your head that's pushing your eyeball out of its socket, and you have to have immediate surgery on a Friday," she said, "Let me go to church first," because she has a friend, and his name is the resurrection. And when she went back to that same doctor on Monday for that surgery to be scheduled, he reexamined her and said, "I can't find the tumor." And so Becky gave him a testimony. She told him about her friend, the resurrection. And he said, "I'm an atheist." But his little nurse said, "I want to be saved." And she led her to the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you, we are big friends of the resurrection. Every day of our life, we run out of money. But when we run out of money, I just talk to the resurrection and he supplies my every need. You need to learn to be a good friend of the resurrection, because things are going to die in your life and you're going to be helpless and hopeless. But when you can turn to your friend, just turn to your friend and say, "I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm down, I'm defeated." When you can turn to him, he is the resurrection. Do you understand what that means? There is no force in the world like the resurrection. It means the dead lives. It means the dead comes back to life. It means the tomb is empty. It means Jesus Christ is on the case. It means that God is going to resolve the problem. He's in this building right now. And there are people all over this building that have problems in your life. And you've done your very best to resolve them, but you don't know exactly how to do that. Friend, you need to have Jesus Christ, the resurrection, as your personal friend. Don't think of him as a judge. Don't think of him as someone that's out to get you. He's someone that's out to help you. He's on your side. He died for a purpose, and that was so that he could take all of your sins, and your sins would never separate you from God. So he could take all of your problems. Your problems would never defeat you. But you need to learn to call on Jesus. Jesus! And suddenly, my friend, the resurrection stands beside me. And no matter who is against me, it simply does not matter. Because the resurrection is great. When he talked about, "I will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies," he really wasn't talking about your mother-in-law, it'll work, or your boss. What was he talking about? He was talking about the enemies of mankind. What are the enemies of mankind? Sin, death, hell, and the grave. But the resurrection said, "I will prepare a table for you." It's a terrible thing to live in fear of life and fear of death, but it's a wonderful thing to live in faith of life and faith of death and say, "It's all right, no matter what happens. Hey, the resurrection is a friend of mine. It will be all right." And so Jesus said, "You can face everything through me because I am the resurrection." And so the Apostle Paul said, Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians, are the only one that have the authority to mock sin. Say, "Sin, you have no hold on me." You can mock death. Say, "Death, you have no power over me." You can mock the grave and you can mock hell because you simply say, "Hey, death, sin, grave, hell, the resurrection is a friend of mine." That's what brings the people out of the lion's den. It's what brings people out of the fiery furnace. It's what brings you out of your trouble. And you look at this church, you say, "This is a crazy group of people." It's simply because the resurrection is our friend. We come here and we sing and we dance and we laugh and we carry on like we do, and people say, that ain't right. Just not right to act that way in church. But friend, Jesus Christ is not some foreign emblem to us. He is our everyday resurrection. We're not afraid of tomorrow because Jesus has been our friend today. We're not afraid of tomorrow because the resurrection was our friend yesterday. We've been through some things. We're like the insurance company. We've seen some things. And Jesus Christ has been there all along. I've been through a heart condition, prostate cancer. We've been through tumors. We've been through financial dilemmas. And not one time has He failed me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection, He was not a braggart or a liar. He is the resurrection. And He's in this building right now, today. And no matter what you're going through, if you would learn to make Jesus Christ your friend that sticketh closer than a brother, I promise you, your life will change. My life has changed. Every day I get up, and when I get up, the resurrection is with me. And by the time we get to the door, the devil shows up. But it's all right, because I've been fighting the devil every day of my life for the last 50 or 60 years, and I've been whipping him every day. Every day. It doesn't matter what he says. Whose report are you going to believe? The doctor said you're sick, but the resurrection says I'm well. The banker says you're broke, but the Bible said I'll supply every need. I have a friend, and I am a friend of the resurrection. He lives in me. I feel His stimulus. I feel His power. I feel His joy, and I worship Him today. Does He have a name? This resurrection. His name is Jesus. Would you stand on your feet right now and lift your hands with me and just begin to worship Jesus Christ? Just worship Him out loud. Say, I've never done that. Oh, yes, you have. You did it at the Spurs game. You've done it lots of places. Now you need to do it in church. Jesus, I celebrate You. I worship You. I glorify You. You are able. You are above able. You are magnificent. Nothing is too hard for You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A week ago today, my sister stood with the hundreds of people as we prayed. The doctor said she had to have surgery that week, this past week. And they'd found out that she not only had a problem in her nose, but it had come down, and there was a black spot on her jaw and terribly painful. And he said, it's malignant. I'm sure it's cancer. But she called me on Wednesday, and the doctor said, no, I don't know what that was. I know what it was. My friend, the resurrection. My friend, the resurrection. If you're in this building today, I don't care what your problem is. If you've got a diagnosis from the doctor, if you don't have a job, if you've got an impending divorce, you've got any kind of a circumstance in your life that's just wrecking your life, you need a new friend. His name is Jesus, and He is the resurrection. I challenge you to walk out of your pew right now, and you say, Pastor, I never have given anything in the church. Hey, friend, you can't...